Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Monday night to you. Hope you had a good Monday. Hope you had a good Sunday, a good Saturday. I hope you had a good Friday. I'm going to be rolling with you for the next 4 hours. This is when I get started, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Many thanks to you. Yeah, people listening all over North America. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. You can tune in on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 158. And if you got yourself a smart speaker, all you have to do is ask that speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Super producer and host Dave Shepard, he's holding it down in New York City. And of course, it's that time of the year. Things are ridiculously busy. Out in Detroit right now, the Lions, they're taking on the Raiders. Monday Night Football, the Detroit Lions have a 16-7 lead. About 12 or so minutes left here in the third quarter. Meanwhile, yes, the World Series is still going on. Game 3 down in Arlington, Texas. It's the bottom of the seventh. This is a pretty swift game. The Rangers lead the Diamondbacks 3-0. The Rangers can hold on to win this game. The Texas Rangers are going to go up here in the World Series 2-1. So a busy night. It's been a busy weekend for all my folks who checked in on all the NFL football yesterday. Unfortunately, we've had some injuries. The Minnesota Vikings trying to figure out what they're going to do moving forward now that Kirk Cousins is out for the year, blew out his Achilles. And then meanwhile, here in Atlanta, Grady Jarrett for the Falcons, he goes down. And ironically, the Minnesota Vikings are going to take on the Falcons next. We had a big college football weekend as well. Sark is yelling about Texas now getting into the college football playoff. As tomorrow, we know that those, at least those top four teams will be revealed. We're going to get the rankings, the first rankings tomorrow. As the Raiders just scored a touchdown, making it 16-13. They're going to try to put on an extra point or maybe tie it up. We'll give you an update there. So this has been a busy, busy weekend. It's been a busy night, as I said. If you want to talk to me, it's simple. The number here is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm also everywhere. I'm on the internet. All that good stuff where people argue and say ridiculous things. I am at JR Sport Brief. I want to get to Kirk Cousins and his injuries in a second, or his injury. Shep, how you doing, man? You good?
I'm good, JR. Great to have you back, man. How you feeling?
It's good. I got a voice tonight, which is great. You know, I'm not going to complain about that. So I got a voice. I'm able to talk, and we're good. Okay.
No, I don't know.
I don't. You asked me. I told you. You didn't care after that. Okay. Okay, Shep. I feel the same way. Anyway, as Marcus Peters just ran in a pick six. That's what that touchdown was. Difficult enough for them to score here. And might as well give you a little bit of an update on the Texas Rangers as well. To the shock and surprise of probably absolutely no one, Max Scherzer had to exit this game. I'm not laughing at the injury. He had to exit the game with a tight back. And Max Scherzer's just, he's done. Like, what else is there for Max Scherzer to do here in Major League Baseball. I know he has another year on his contract after this. The New York Mets are going to be paying a portion of it. But he's not able to go out there and contribute the way that he wants to, given his age, his history, his standing. This man hasn't been able to finish up a season in the past several years. It's been pretty sad. And speaking of sad, Shep, did you hear about these ratings for the World Series so far?
You know, I have not, to be honest with you, the JR. My inclination would be they're lower than usual.
Well, how about being lower than usual? How about Game 1 of the World Series on Friday night with that amazing home run to win it by Garcia? It was the lowest rated World Series Game 1 ever. That game on Friday night was worse than the Bubble World Series, which we know was pushed back in pandemic 2020 by about a month. And so people aren't tuning in so far for the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. And the numbers and the ratings for Saturday's game, they're not widely available yet. But there are no Dodgers. There are no Yankees. There are no Cubs. And I think we had a caller hit us about this kind of randomly last week. The caller said that this was going to be the worst rated World Series ever. Do you recall that?
I do, JR. I could be wrong. I think specifically it was Rick from Toronto.
Doesn't matter who it was.
Doesn't matter who it was. But JR, but I do have a question, though.
Yes.
Ratings overall, streaming, network viewing, like is this just in the totality? Because there's so many different ways you can get the World Series now. So how much of this is diluted?
Diluted via what? I don't think this counted in streaming.
Okay.
Right. I don't think so. But in a general sense, I mean, it ain't going to be that much of a push. And even if you are comparing it, the numbers are still low. I can't imagine somebody in Chicago or somebody in St. Louis is sitting around and go, oh, man, I need to, you know, crack open my tablet or my phone to watch Texas and Arizona. Ain't nobody doing that.
Chair, doesn't that shock you? Because we should have been introduced to both these teams the way they rose to the occasion in their respective Game 6 and Game 7s. Like, they snatched that ALCS and NLCS away from, obviously, the Astros and the Phillies. And so we are acclimated to who these guys are at this point if you follow sports. They didn't sneak up on us.
Yeah, but it's not even the hardcore. It's the casual fans. And so one thing that you can't do is all of a sudden just slap these dudes on TV, and Adolis Garcia is all of a sudden losing his mind. And that, you know, somebody that's not a fan of baseball or someone who only pops in during the postseason or only pops in during the World Series is going to tune in. I mean, we can look at the runs. Let's also be real. The runs that these teams go on, it's like a 2 or 3 week run and then boom, World Series. And so when you think about that, think about football has started. The NBA has started. There's competition here. For Major League Baseball. And so I think we went through this exercise last week. Who is the most famous player in the World Series? Is it Max Scherzer?
Yes.
Is he the most famous, widely recognized name?
Without question, JR. He's the only person at this point, if anybody retired right now, he would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's nobody else that would even make the Hall of Fame outside of purchasing a ticket like you and myself.
And the fact is, Max Scherzer, he ain't even really playing.
No.
Like he goes out there and he's like, my back is in pain and I got to leave the game. He goes out and he's tired. He goes out and he gets slapped around. He's a shell of himself. He's not yet a complete joke where you go, oh, here's Max Scherzer. But he's at the point of his career where he is just he has fallen apart. And so congratulations, at least right now, and they got more baseball to play, the Texas Rangers leading the Arizona Diamondbacks 3-0. It's two outs in the bottom of the seventh. The Rangers are trying to cobble this one together with Scherzer leaving in the game. John Gray went out there to pick up some of the slack, and so they are hoping to kind of stay alive in Texas Rangers bullpen they have a propensity throughout the course of the season to go ahead and get slapped around just a little bit. So we'll keep you up to date on that game as well. I told you about the Detroit Lions hosting the Raiders. They lead them 16-14. And so we'll keep you up to date on Monday Night Football as well. The Raiders are trying to get their record back up to 500. They enter tonight with a record of 3-4. And the Detroit Lions trying to get back on track themselves. Getting punched in the mouth last week, they now have a record of 5-2 after that surprising beatdown at the hands of the Ravens, 38-6. Man, they're trying to show everybody that they're legitimate contenders and move that record tonight to 6-2. So the Lions trying to maintain and hold some dominance there in the NFC North. And it is pretty bad right now when you take a look at some of the other teams in the NFC North. Obviously, we got the Packers, we got the Bears, and then we have a team that started 0-3, now moved their record to 4-4. It's the Minnesota Vikings. And when it looked like they were trying to show just a little bit of life, Kirk Cousins goes down, blows out his Achilles in the fourth quarter before he blew it out yesterday's game, going out there beating Green Bay 24-10. Kirk Cousins had two touchdowns. He was on his way to having another damn good game, leading the NFL heading into yesterday's game when it comes down to touchdowns and yards. 16 touchdowns, more than 2,000 yards passing. And those are going to be his final numbers on the season, flat and period. Kirk Cousins is done. And Kirk Cousins' career in Minnesota may actually be done as well, because Kirk Cousins is going to be a free agent. And this was not a good look yesterday. Kevin O'Connell came through, and these were his first comments regarding his injury. Listen to this from yesterday.
Played the quarterback position as well as anybody in our league, and just continued to build and build and build. You know, we are fearing. Currently, he's being evaluated and will be into tomorrow. We are feeling fearing an Achilles injury. The severity of that, I do not know at this point.
Okay, well, that was him yesterday. Head coach Kevin O'Connell, he spoke to the media today, and he basically told you what the update was.
We did learn that Kirk suffered an Achilles tendon tear yesterday at up at Lambeau Field. We're, you know, in the process of determining kind of the next steps and timeline, you know, whatever, what's in the best interest for Kirk, and allowing that process to play out so we can make sure he gets the best possible medical care that he can. You know, me personally, our whole team, our whole organization, we're all, you know, hurting this morning for Kirk, just knowing just how much he's invested into this team, and from a standpoint of his leadership and what he's, you know, meant to every single guy in that locker room, and really what he's meant to me since my, you know, my arrival here.
Oh, well, look, people like Kirk Cousins, right? People want to give him touchdown chains and dress him up in jewelry. He's a good quarterback. There's no disputing that he this season he's been one of the best QBs in the entire NFL. But I'll tell you this. I said it last week. We had this conversation following Monday Night Football, their victory last week. I still feel and felt that the Minnesota Vikings were on the road to absolute nowhere. They weren't going anywhere, even with a healthy Kirk Cousins. We got to keep in mind that Justin Jefferson was out. And yes, they've been able to turn the season around. But to be competitive, Minnesota Vikings are trying to rebuild and get younger on the fly. And we see that, but not with Kirk Cousins. Is he going to return, and are they going to go out there and just give him a new long-term contract for a dude who's 35? Or is he going to move forward and move on? I think it's the latter. I wouldn't be surprised if he got another chance or an opportunity. And so now the Minnesota Vikings have to figure out, how do you stay alive the rest of this season? How do you try to push forward and maybe, just maybe, secure a wild card spot? Because all things considered, the Lions are probably going to go out there and win a division. And so do you trade for a Jameis Winston? Do you start looking into, I don't know, snatching up an Andy Dalton, you know, somebody backing up now for the Carolina Panthers. So the Minnesota Vikings, they got options. But I think you need to be careful. Because still, don't trade some draft assets to run on a treadmill and go nowhere. The Minnesota Vikings weren't going anywhere with Kirk Cousins as their QB. And whoever they decide to bring in as his replacement, whether they sign a surprise off the street, whether they go out and trade, be smart. Like, look reality in the face and say, well, are we Super Bowl contenders? Or are we just playoff contenders? Are we fringe playoff contenders? Minnesota Vikings aren't winning a damn thing this year. I just say, look, whatever quarterback you bring in, decide to go out there and proceed with caution. It really stinks that Kirk Cousins, heading into free agency, now moves forward with a blown-out Achilles. It's a bad situation for him, bad situation for Minnesota. It's going to have to fast-forward any evaluation process. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. The Detroit Lions still beating Las Vegas, the Raiders. The score 16-14. There's 6.5 minutes left in the third. And the Rangers, they still lead the Diamondbacks. They're in the eighth inning right now. Their lead 3-0. We're going to keep you up to date on the games as they continue on throughout the course of the night. And then also, you know what? Speaking of the trade deadline, we have no idea. Zip, zero, zilch. What the hell the Vikings are going to do at quarterback. But we already had a move today. Looks like the Seattle Seahawks are trying to move forward and, you know, bringing in some defensive help. And they decided to bring in a guy from New York. I'll tell you about it on the other side of the break. We have so much to do on this Monday night. You're tuned in to CBS Sports Radio. It's the JR Sport Brief Show.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. JR wants to hear from you. Call him now at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Monday Night Football, Detroit leads Las Vegas 16-14. About 4 minutes left in the third. And then meanwhile, in the World Series, Game 3 of the World Series, Texas leading Arizona 3-0. It's the bottom of the eighth inning. Aroldis Chapman is on the mound. And the Texas Rangers in Arizona hoping to walk away with a 2-1 series lead. We'll go ahead and keep you up to date on it all as we roll ahead. One thing that I'm looking forward to on Tuesday, and we got to wait until 4 p.m. Eastern time, is the NFL trade deadline. Not the same type of trade deadline that we would typically get when you think about all of the activity that takes place, like with the NBA. Things have ticked up here. Maybe like last season, we get a Roquan Smith moving on from the Bears, going on to the Ravens. But it's not like Major League Baseball's trade deadline. It's not like the NBA's trade deadline. And sure, like everything else, the NFL really wants to market the hell out of the trade deadline. And so we've heard some things. You know, one thing that has certainly bothered me as a fan is to know that Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans, they're not looking, quote-unquote, to move him. That doesn't mean that he won't be moved. And by the way, man, we'll talk about that. To look at the Tennessee Titans and Levis in his first game to throw four touchdowns against the Falcons is ridiculously embarrassing. But forget that. I wanted to see Derrick Henry on a good team for the longest. And I can't say a good team. The Tennessee Titans have been good. I'm just not a fan of Ryan Tannehill. You know, I have memories of looking at him in playoff games, just opening games with interceptions. Going into halftime and throwing interceptions. Coming out of halftime and throwing interceptions. So I've never been a fan of Tennessee. Derrick Henry was the driving and has been the driving force for the team, most certainly for the offense. The ability for Ryan Tannehill to play or have play action plays off of him has been a boon to his career. It's why he was able to go from Miami with the Dolphins to Tennessee and have success, just because of the threat of Derrick Henry running over folks on his way to the end zone. And so it would be nice. And I know they say the odds are low, given his age and his contract, but it would be nice to see Derrick Henry on a real contending team. You know, Christian McCaffrey got the benefit of going from the Carolina Panthers out to the 49ers, and he's having an amazing year, and he's going to be able to compete for a Super Bowl. And I know even the Niners have been getting slapped around recently, but he's on a better team. And so I wish the same thing for Derrick Henry. We'll see if it actually takes place and if it happens. But today we already had a trade. Not a name, not someone in the magnitude of a maybe, possibly future Hall of Famer in Derrick Henry. But Leonard Williams of the New York Giants is no longer on the Giants. He's been traded to the Seattle Seahawks. He goes to Seattle for a 2024 second rounder, a 2025 fifth rounder. He has about $10 million left on his contract this season. And the New York Giants basically said, we suck. We might as well move this dude. Try to pick up some draft capital. Kayvon Thibodeau has 8.5 sacks here on the season. The New York Giants have already paid Dexter Lawrence on the front of the line. Leonard Williams is in the final year of a 3-year, $63 million contract. And they cut bait. I don't blame him. They sure as hell ain't going anywhere. But Leonard Williams has always been, I want to say, a little bit of a disappointment. Like with the New York Jets, it was nice for him to be had, and then he moves over to the Giants, and then he gets his contract. But I can't remember the last time that Leonard Williams was actually a difference maker in regards to getting to the QB. And I know he would probably tell you, well, it's not necessarily my job. I'm there to free up or at least occupy some of the blockers so Kayvon can go get to the quarterback or Dexter Lawrence can go out there and get it. I mean, he's getting $63 million. He has gotten $63 million for having 1.5 sacks this season, 2.5 sacks last season, 6.5 the season before that. In 2020, he had a career high 11.5 sacks. And so the Seattle Seahawks are going to go out there and they're going to get somebody. They're going to go ahead and move forward and having somebody else on the line to go to work. But for the New York Giants, just a complete waste of time. 2-6. What an ugly game that was against the New York Jets. And meanwhile, the Seahawks went out there and beat the Browns 24-10. They're making some moves, looking like they want to go to the postseason. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Let's go ahead and talk to Greg. He's calling from Michigan. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, Mr. Positive. Hey, we here in Detroit are on pins and needles. We have to legitimize the Lions. They have to win, because if they lose, then that's the old same old Lions, the chant. They just scored, but this game is going back and forth unpredictably.
Is it? I don't know if it's going back and forth. Marcus Peters had a 75-yard pick six. But outside of that, I don't necessarily see the Raiders as having a whole lot of life or juice. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, just in the first half, he did not connect on one single pass to a wide receiver. It didn't happen. So I think the Lions are going to hold on and win this.
Oh, my God. Hopefully your mouth to God's ears, JR. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Everybody go for your dreams. Love you, JR.
Thank you so much, Greg, for calling from Michigan. I'm not worried about that. And he did just mention a Lions score. Jahmyr Gibbs just punched in a 27-yard touchdown run as these Las Vegas Raiders are trying to get back into this game. We still got a lot of game left. There's about 3 minutes left here, a little less than 3 minutes left in the third. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Rhode Island and talk to Paul. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
My man, how are you, JR? Thank you for
I'm good. What's on your mind, Paul?
How is it possible that I live and breathe your show and there's a driver? I just came back from Toronto for the weekend, and he's got your show on, what is it, the New York show there, you know? And
WFAN, yes.
Yeah, how's that possible, you know? And I said to myself, you know, I listen to this man all the time. The man is outrageous because he speaks his mind, but he also respects people's opinion. But here's the deal.
Yes.
How is that possible when I'm in Toronto and they listen to your show? Well, obviously from New York, I understand that part. But my Lions, they try to get I don't mean to change subject. My Lions in this game, I'm watching home. I'm back in Rhode Island, and I'm watching this game, and they're trying to give the Raiders this game in the first quarter. But getting back to another subject, what the hell happened this weekend? All these 5-2 teams, all these 6-1 teams. What the hell happened? I can't blame it all on the Ziva brothers, you know, the officiating, but this is crazy. I mean, I know you're halfway and you got 10 games left. This is insulting to the fans. How did this happen?
I don't know if I want to call it insulting to the fans.
I shut my mouth.
Well, thank you, Paul. That's one way. That's one way to go ahead and end your own phone call. I'll shut my mouth. Listen, it's actually a benefit to the NFL and the parity in the league that you do have a bunch of 4-3 teams. If you take a look at the AFC North, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, all 4-3. Okay. If you go ahead and take a look at the AFC East, outside of Miami, 6-2. Buffalo 5-3. The New York Jets, through hook and by crook and through plenty of ugly play, the New York Jets have a record of 4-3. The AFC South is a disaster. Only Jacksonville having a winning record. There's nothing wrong with having parity in the league. I mean, the NFC South is still ugly. I mean, Atlanta is like, hey, Ritter, have a seat. He's getting knocked around, abused. He's got to throw Heinicke out there. New Orleans is 4-4. Tampa Bay is 3-4. It's good for the league. I mean, who wants a league where you got a bunch of haves and a bunch of have-nots? So it's nice that everybody gets a chance. More than one team, a couple of them feel like they have a legitimate opportunity to go into the postseason. I think that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. The league is better for it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of the playoffs, when we come back, we're going to talk about this. Tomorrow, big day in college football. We're going to get the first rankings Tuesday night for the college football playoff. And we have one head coach who's already lobbying and making his case for his team to be in legitimate consideration. I'm going to tell you who it is on the other side of the break. If you want to talk to me, I'll hit you up as well, or you can hit me up, 855-212-4CBS. But you know what? Speaking of the playoffs, yeah, there's a big version of it going on right now. It's called the World Series.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Good to hear from you, man. I'm a big fan of your show. I love your work, and I appreciate you. I'm a trucker, man, so I'll be all over the country, and I look forward to your show, man, at this time.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. The Texas Rangers lead the Diamondbacks 3-1 in the top of the ninth. There's one out. The Rangers have a guy on first, And I just saw the umpires. It's nice to see they were conferring on something. Thank God it didn't take a year and a day for them to figure out something small. So the Texas Rangers trying to put a cushion, trying to put some more runs up here on the board before they move into the bottom of the ninth and try to shut down these Diamondbacks here and take game three of the World Series to take a 2-1 series lead. So we'll keep you up to date on that one as it continues on. And as Marco Belletti mentioned and told you, you know, prior to us going to the break, right now the Lions, they still lead the Raiders 23-14. About 3 minutes have gone by here in the fourth quarter. The Detroit Lions have the ball, and so they have an opportunity to put up some more points themselves to try to walk away and end tonight with a record of 6-2. It looks like the Lions are going to be back in the postseason unless there's another injury in the NFC North. We talked about Kirk Cousins going down with that blown out Achilles. It looks like the Lions they're going to be in a great position to go to the postseason. And their fans deserve it. The city deserves it. The fans deserve it. It's nice to see the Lions actually turning things around to have some type of success. Speaking of turning things around and having success, I'm gonna tell you about the college football playoff momentarily, but let me get this out the way. The Denver Broncos actually won another football game. The Denver Broncos beat the Kansas City Chiefs 24-9. So let me lay out some realities and you figure out whether or not they're excuses. So Patrick Mahomes was sick, okay? He was sick. There's an excuse. We're talking two interceptions. We're talking muff punts. Mecole Hardman can't handle a punt. This was just an ugly game all the way around, and it's not like Denver had to go out and do anything spectacular. This was just a dud for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Russell Wilson, he threw 19 passes total. Three of those passes happened to be touchdowns. And here, on the other end of things, congratulations to the Broncos by winning the game against the defending Super Bowl champs. The Broncos ended a 16-game losing streak to the Kansas City Chiefs. They have not beaten them since 2015. And so now they can put that to bed. They can go ahead and close that chapter. Kansas City Chiefs with four turnovers. Real, real ugly yesterday. And Denver, they pick up another victory. They now have three of them on the season. A matter of fact, this guy sounds the same win, lose, or draw. It's Russell Wilson. He said, man, I felt it in my soul the whole time that we could hang in there and beat the Chiefs. Listen to this guy.
We had a great week of practice. We knew that we could come out and win this football game and play great in front of our fans. And just to win, beat the Chiefs, you know, at home in front of our fans, you know, and just in front of Broncos country. And just the crowd was amazing tonight. They brought us that extra energy. Guys made plays on defense. Guys made plays on offense, special teams. It was an amazing team effort, and there's nothing better than winning.
Oh, man. Shep, does he ever have a bad week of practice? Does anything ever go wrong for him? Was everything just hunky-dory? Everything is always perfect.
JR, I hate to sound like a broken record, but if I have his personal life, I'm never negative about anything else either.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, what does he really have to be upset about? Like, he outkicked his coverage, and he should be grateful for every other thing that comes his way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. No taking shit.
And he's a pretty good quarterback. He's you know, he's regressed a little bit, but he beat the Chiefs. I'll give him that.
You think he's regressed? He's having an amazing season. Man.
Well,
he's having a good year. His team sucks.
Look, he's not playing for a defensive minded coach. I understand Nathaniel Hackett is on the offensive side of the football, but where they were really good last year was on defense, and offense never seemed to be the focus. So as a result, playing with Sean Payton, he's inevitably going to be better. I don't think he's a great quarterback anymore.
I really don't think he's I don't think it's like he's fallen off of a cliff. The guy has passed for 1,600 yards, has 16 touchdowns and four interceptions. If you want to take a look at any type of bright spot on the team, it would be him. But then I don't subscribe to the fact, and I say this about Kirk Cousins, that just because you have these big, glaring, glowing numbers, that it's actually leading to team success. We know the quarterback is the most important dude out there on the field. He's the one making the decisions. But, you know, the team has other elements. And so sometimes I think we can have some empty numbers when it comes to really, really winning games. And I think that's the case with Russell. But I'm not going to say that he's, you know, he's fallen off or, you know, he's older. I know he's that much. But I think everything surrounding him is crap too. And so the Denver Broncos win. They beat Kansas City. They're going to have an opportunity to move forward in their next game. I think they actually have some time off before they move on to the next game. Let's see who they take on next. These Denver Broncos move on and take on, yep, Green Bay, actually. No time off. They got Green Bay next, then the Kansas City Chiefs. They move forward, and they take on the Chargers.
But, Jerry, I'm sorry. You said who are the Broncos taking on next?
Oh, no. You know what? Wrong.
Yes.
Correct. They are off, right?
They are. Yes, it's a bye week, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I was right. Okay, so I was right the first time and wrong the second. The Denver Broncos are going to have time off.
To your point, it was a very unmemorable game versus the Packers when they did play in the season.
For who? What? Denver?
Yes.
I mean, well, what's memorable for the Broncos? I could tell you this.
Yeah.
It's a crap start. It's getting blown out and smoked by Miami 70-20. And now they've probably gone out there and have just had their quote unquote Super Bowl and beating Kansas City. That's it. Like, what else is there? What else can we reasonably think about for them the rest of the year? What's going to happen? Nothing.
Yeah, JR, I'm looking at their schedule, and really the only strong, staunch opposition is going to be the Lions and the Bills. They have a very favorable schedule, JR.
Yeah. Well, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to go to the playoffs? They're going to go on a run?
Well, they are 3-5. And so in their next 9 games, 2 of them come against playoff teams. So it could be a formidable situation where they, you know, with the 7 teams now in the playoffs from each respective conference, they could very much backdoor their way in. Russell Wilson, to your point, it seems like he has his mojo back. I don't think he's the same Russell of 2014, 2015, but he is certainly good enough to get you to the playoffs. He's not missing throws the way he was last year. And JR, this is well documented. No receiving core was decimated more than the Broncos coming into this season. Russell deserves a little credit, like you said, just for holding the ship afloat.
Yeah, they can get into the postseason. I just I'm not going to favor it. I think the rest of the way, best case scenario, maybe they go 500. And, you know, their team's on a schedule. No one on their schedule is like a for sure pushover. Like, they can be competitive. Every one of these teams here are competitive. They have Buffalo. They have Minnesota. That'll probably be easy depending on who they have at quarterback. We know Cousins is now out for the year. Cleveland, I know that they lost yesterday. They're no pushovers. Houston can certainly surprise. The Chargers, they're up, they're down. Detroit is good. New England, you can never, as bad as they've been this year, you can never kind of ignore what they do. And they have the Chargers again, and then they finish the season in Vegas. So, look, I personally am not looking for a turnaround. I still think Sean Payton is a walking jerk. I know what he said about Nathaniel Hackett, and it might be old news, but it just rubbed me the wrong way. I don't think – yeah, people make mistakes. People say things, but that just showed me a little bit more like he is a complete jerk.
You don't do that, JR. To your point, he completely and utterly crossed the line that you never hear from coaches in the NFL.
Yeah, if you're going to say that publicly, and then you got the nerve to come out afterwards and say, oh, yeah, I forgot I wasn't – doing my TV job. I was in the month. Like, nah, man. You came out with a hit job. So, I mean, there's not a damn thing going on with the Denver Broncos this season that I'm going to root for. That certainly doesn't alter or change or waver or waive my opinion or nudge it one way or the other. I just think that best case scenario, they can finish close to 500. And who knows? Like you said, maybe that's good enough to go ahead and get them into the postseason. Speaking of the postseason, Steve Sarkisian is already running around kind of lobbying for Texas to get into the college football playoff. They got one loss on the season. That was to the Sooners a couple of weeks ago, 34-30. And those same Sooners went ahead and just lost to Kansas in a shocker over the weekend. And so you look at two teams, both moving on to the SEC, and you think about Sarkisian running around telling everybody how we handled Alabama at the beginning of the season. He's already letting folks know that, hey, we need consideration when these rankings come out for the first time tomorrow. Listen to what Sark had to say.
I'd argue we have the best win in the country right now. The fact that we go into Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and beat a team that was 52-1 in the previous 53 games of us going in there. And I hear so much about how tough the SEC is, but I haven't seen any of those teams go into Alabama and win either. So I feel pretty good about our team. And I think over time, this whole thing will play itself out.
Yeah, they just beat BYU, they being Texas, over the weekend. We know no Quinn Ewers, Malik Murphy went out there, and they won 35-6, which is what you should do against BYU. And so the Longhorns, they finish up their schedule. They have Kansas State, they have TCU, they have Iowa State, and then they have Texas Tech. That's going to be what they have in front of them to wrap up the season as we finish things up here in the month of November. Texas getting into the college football playoff? But probably not. I think we know who the top teams are there. You have Georgia. You got Ohio State. You can go ahead and probably still put Michigan in there. Florida State, Washington. Those are going to be the teams that are going to be in the mix there. And I think on a head-to-head, even though Oklahoma just went out there and lost to Kansas, the fact that they went out there and they gave Texas their only loss of the season a couple of weeks ago, I still believe that's going to be a detriment to them. I know Sark may want to go ahead and think about the beginning of the season and, hey, we beat Alabama. Well, what happened against the Sooners, man? Tell me about that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to tell you about the World Series because the Rangers are one out away from going up 2-1. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Let's face the facts. Everyone wants to feel valued, especially your employees. In fact, a 2023 study found 78% of business owners say benefits and retirement plans improve employee retention. Employees want to feel secure in their jobs and their finances. At Principal, we help you invest in your people. Because investing in your people is investing in your business. Learn more at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Hey everyone, you've probably heard us talking about Magnificent Jerk. It's a story about discovering family secrets buried in a low-budget 90s thriller starring Rob Lowe and Ice-T. Magnificent Jerk takes you on a journey through Chinatown gangs, drug robberies, Hollywood reinvention, and a family confronting its unspoken past. It's the true story about a fake story about a real life. Magnificent Jerk is an Apple original podcast produced by Pineapple Street Studios. All episodes are available now. Follow and listen on Apple Podcasts. This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.
Discover, this is Daniela.
Hi, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I just want to thank you for making me feel so special. I earned cash back on debit for my dinner party groceries.
That's great, but with Discover Cashback Debit, we give everyone cash back on everyday purchases. Anything else I can help you with?
Do you like asparagus and mushroom sorbet? I've got leftovers.
Introducing Discover Cashback Debit, a checking account with cash back. It pays to Discover. Eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.